Let's hear what Ben Shapiro's, I wonder if he's going to celebrate this anti-Semitism bill. Let's see.
There is a bill that passed through the House. It passed through with 70 votes against by Democrats, 21 votes against by Republicans. The kind of group that voted against ran the gamut from people who are overtly anti-Semitic, like Ilhan Omar, to people who are sort of like borderline anti-Semitic, to people who are just strong free speech libertarians.
He's like the actual anti-Semites, strong free speech libertarians. People who are critical of Israel, rabid anti-Semites, Ilhan Omar, Muslim, wears a hijab, anti-Semitic.
So there is a bill called H.R. 6090. That's the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023. The bill, it will codify the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism in Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The reason that you are seeing a lot of angst from administrators on college campuses is because federal funding is tied to fulfillment of the Civil Rights Act. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 dictates there cannot be discrimination on the basis of shared ancestry, ethnic characteristics, or national origin. Environments of harassment on these basis can remove your federal funding at a university. So if, for example, there were to be giant rallies at a university that suggested that all black people should be re-enslaved and the university did nothing about that, that is already illegal under Title.
That's so funny that Ben's saying that, because if that were to happen, Ben would be defending it. Excuse me, it's called free speech. They're just making an argument about why black people are servile and therefore deserve enslavement, which is the same exact argument that slavers made. And it's a historically important argument to be made. And I think that I will fight to the death their right to be able to say it. But yeah, Ben doesn't believe in the Civil Rights Act unless we're talking about defending Israel, in which case, as long as he can tie Judaism to Israel, he will defend the Civil Rights Act. There are, of course, plenty of instances where Ben has shit on the Civil Rights Act, as a matter of fact. I love this situation because, like, even to the dumbest guy on the planet, partially due to anti-Semitic leanings, virtually every single person knows Ben Shapiro as the guy who hates identity politics. That's what he made his bread and butter on. And little do those people know that Ben Shapiro loves identity politics. It's just an identity he cares about. And that's not even Jewish people across the board, mind you. He is fucking insanely anti-Semitic all the time. It's just Jews who defend Israel. And anyone who defends Israel, really. He wants only that group of people to be defended. Jewish, Christian, anti-Semitic, not anti-Semitic, doesn't matter. As long as you defend Israel unconditionally, Ben is here for you. Everyone else, fuck off. Fuck off.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that that is a violation of free speech principles. It absolutely is. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is a full-scale violation of free speech principles.
Oh, yo! Oh, that's so good. Oh, my God. Oh, that's awesome. It's like, Title VI is a violation of free speech principles. It's really fucked up that it exists.
As Christopher Caldwell wrote in his book, The Age of Entitlement, this is replete throughout the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 is chock full of violations of the Constitution. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, for example, criminalizes private accommodations discriminating on the basis of...
Oh, this is so awesome. He's doing his anti-civil rights argument. Oh, that's so sick. This is a unique Ben. This is a rare Ben. He normally has the wherewithal not to do this. He used to do it all the time back in the day. There's still like plenty of public debates that we can draw from, but I haven't really seen this Ben in a while. And I love when he debate lords the civil rights.
Private accommodations, like you own a bed and breakfast. It criminalizes that, right? You're now called a public accommodation. And now the federal government can step in and fine, regulate you, criminally prosecute you.
He hates that. He hates that. He has openly fucking been like, you should not infringe on businesses. People will just simply go somewhere else. Okay, but they don't. And they didn't. And that's kind of the reason why this fucking legislation exists to begin with, because people were not doing that. They weren't just going somewhere else. They were specifically going to that. And all of the private corporations in surrounding areas were just all not offering accommodations to black people. So it's kind of the whole reason why the law and the civil rights movement happened. But whatever. Let's keep going.
It's a violation of what used to be a divide between private property and public property, which is why I've always had massive problems. I've talked about this for years with Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. I also have massive problems with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, because Title VI of the Civil Rights Act is very unclear.
He hates it. He's like, why can't you let private business be racist to black people?
It obviously violates free speech principles, because it says that if you create, quote, a harassing environment on, for example, a college campus, or in a business that takes any sort of federal contract, the federal government can then remove money from you. That being said, the Supreme Court has already cleared Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, and there appears to be no actual momentum inside Congress for getting rid of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act.
Isn't that a libertarian viewpoint? Yes, it is. Many libertarians are just as racist as Ben Shapiro is, so yes. Anyone that tells you that the federal government should not step in when many businesses in almost every fucking state, and in some states almost all businesses, are routinely discriminating against certain subsections of the population, and the federal government shouldn't step in, is a racist piece of shit. I will stand on that.
Now, again, if you got rid of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, what would actually happen at campuses? Okay, you would have some rallies that were really bad, or maybe you wouldn't, because it would turn out that now colleges and universities would have student codes, and they would enforce their student codes. One of the great lies about universities generally, it's one of the reasons I don't like public universities nearly as much as I like private universities, generally speaking, mainly because public universities, you run into all sort of viewpoint and free speech concerns. Universities, believe it or not, were not meant to just be repositories of everyone's thought or equivalent. Universities, as we talked about at the very top, Columbia College, Columbia University, when it was King's College, was designed to foment particular views. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's quite good. The idea that a university actually promulgates virtue and does not take a morally relativistic stance about good and bad, that to me is a good thing. The problem with classical liberalism in general, which is sort of the idea that all viewpoints are to be treated with equal fervor, classical liberalism only works so long as there are boundaries to the classical liberalism. Meaning that if everyone shares a basic notion of virtue, then yeah, we can have arguments within that basic notion of virtue about what's good and what's bad. But if that completely disappears, classical liberalism turns very quickly into simple moral relativism, where we're supposed to treat neo-Nazism, communism, and constitutional conservatism as exactly the same thing on a college campus. I don't think.
We shouldn't. The only acceptable viewpoint that you just mentioned is communism. Just saying. The other stuff is, I mean, you just repeated neo-Nazism twice. So I don't know why you had to bring that up twice. Constitutional conservatism. Neo-Nazism. Redundancies. What's next? You're going to be like Republicans? Okay, same shit. I want to see him worm out of this. I really do. I wonder where he's going to go. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like the anti-Semitism bill. I suspect he might go with like a any or all. If the current way persists with the Civil Rights Act, then this is valid. And that, you know, that protection should extend to Jews as well. Why wouldn't it? You know, if this anti-Semitism bill doesn't go through, then we should abolish the Civil Rights Act as well because it's unconstitutional and anti-First Amendment. I suspect that that's probably where he will try to go to, knowing full well that, like, the other thing is insane. So, therefore, it's just a tacit endorsement of the anti-Semitism bill without openly saying it because everyone in his fucking fan base, aside from being rabid anti-Semites themselves, also understandably are peeved by this anti-Semitism bill greatly expanding on the definition of anti-Semitism and creating another mechanism of enforcement that squashes dissent against a foreign nation that Ben happens to not live at, but weirdly enough will consistently advocate on behalf of. I don't understand it. Like I said, it's like, bro, go live there then. You don't want to live there. Why the fuck are you defending it so aggressively from here, where you choose to live?
When it comes to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act has been used by administrators on college campuses to protect their favorite intersectional minorities only. So, as we all know, if these were protests right now that were being held on college campuses and they were calling for, say, killing black people as opposed to killing Israelis or killing Jews, if they were chanting for the elimination of an entire state, an entire Muslim state, for example, if it said Saudi Arabia ought to...
Bro, what do you mean? You literally do that almost every day when Iran comes up. What are you saying?
You know that the administrators would shut that down forthwith, right? Because there are groups that rank high on the intersectionality hierarchy.
One, this is not an argument that pro-Palestinian demonstrators are making. Nobody's saying wipe off Israel from the fucking map. Or even if they are, this does not represent the broad movement and what the actual arguments are. You, on the other hand, and counter-protesters on the pro-Israel side, on the other hand, are actually saying Israel's in the right, as it is currently in the process of wiping out every Palestinian from the land. So if there's one side that is actually advocating for ethnic cleansing, It's the side that's currently defending the side doing the ethnic cleansing. But as far as an advocacy for wiping out an entire fucking population on the planet, you absolutely have advocated to wipe out Iran off of the planet. So shut the fuck up.
Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 64 is at least facially neutral with regard to which groups can be victimized by discrimination. But in application, I have yet to see a case where anti-white discrimination, which happens all the time, harassing environments for white students on college campuses are quite real, and they've been quite real for decades.
Oh my God, bro. Oh my God. Oh, he had to bring it back. He had to bring it back to like the real grievances. Anti-white discrimination in college. College open spaces should only be for white people. Is that his argument? No, he's, if you ask him, he will say the same dog shit that they've been saying since like 2014, which is that having safe spaces on college campuses for like queer students, for example, is actually disrespectful to the white heterosexual students. It's actually not allowed.
And nobody's ever said that's a Title VI violation.
Because it's not, dumbass. Having safe spaces in a learning environment is productive and good. I hate this fucking argument all the time. Here, the example I will give you is this. If you have a safe space for queer students, where only queer students are allowed to be in, then individuals who are questioning their sexuality can actually get the helpful learning tools and social programs without being in fear of constantly having to fucking debate their existence to a bunch of random interlocutors that want to go there, invade the space, and fucking annoy and harass them. Trust me, they can get that level of harassment in every other part of the college campus with the exception of this one random fucking safe space. Why the fuck are you trying to Israel the safe spaces? Sorry, you can't have it. I have to come in there with my Mark 84s and blow up your safe space with my debates. Anyway, here is the real part of the conversation where Ben opens up what his perspective on the bill looks like.
Discrimination of Jews is forbidden, but discrimination against Jews is a bit of a weird category because the anti-Semitism is a category different from racism. They're not, anti-Semitism is not a subset of racism. It's an entirely different theory of discrimination. Not better, not worse, not more important, not less important, just different.
Huh.
Anti-Semitism, in its essence, is a conspiracy theory about the shadowy power of the Jews behind the institutions. What Congress was trying to do was create a working definition of anti-Semitism such that they could then apply Title VI restrictions to go after the funding for the universities. That's what this bill was about. The problem is the bill fails in two particular ways. It fails, number one, because it obviously is unconstitutionally vague, right? It operates as yet another element of what should originally have been an unconstitutional hate speech law. As I say, all of Title VI is an
Oh my God, he's saying that the Civil Rights Act is hate speech.
But this adds to that by incorporating within it the international Holocaust remembrance definition, working definition of anti-Semitism. And that working definition of anti-Semitism has some cases that are included within it that obviously are vaguely worded, to say the least, and probably encroach, almost certainly encroach, on free speech concerns, the IHRA definition. So the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, for example, which is what was codified in this House bill, 6090, it says, quote, anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews, which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. So that's quite vague. So the IHRA then gives a bunch of examples. And some of these examples are, in fact, good examples of anti-Semitism. And some of them are quite vague in how they're worded or in some cases just.
Bro, there's no. Whoa. He's like, no, you don't understand. I mean, depending on what he's going to say is vague, I'm going to be shocked, I think. He's like, listen, some anti-Semitism is good, actually. Like, for example, when it's Ann Coulter doing the anti-Semitism, she's a supporter of Israel, so I obviously don't care that she's being anti-Semitic.
So, for example, here's an example of what's obviously anti-Semitic. Calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion. Right? That obviously, I think everyone agrees, is anti-Semitism. Making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective, such as especially, but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Okay, again, that seems like pretty rote anti-Semitism.
True.
But there are some of these that are overbroad. So, for example, drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. Now, I can see why the IHRA is saying that that swings into anti-Semitism, because when...
Oh, my God. Okay, never mind. He was... Okay.
Can you accuse the Jews...
Speak on it, King.
What? ...doing to other people what the Nazis did to the Jews? It's uncomfortably borderline anti-Semitic in the same way that it's uncomfortably borderline racist if you were to accuse black people of enslaving white people. It's weird and... But, however... That definition may have worked better 30, 40 years ago. It doesn't particularly work well now because everyone compares everything to the Nazis. So comparing Israel to the Nazis is basically rote at this point. It's what everyone does with everyone at all times. Trump is Hitler.
Okay. Okay. Never mind. He's kind of cooking. I mean, I was not expecting him to say that. This is definitely against what Ben Shapiro, I take back what I said. So far, he's not wrong, which is shocking.
Biden is Hitler. Everyone is Hitler. Everyone I don't like is a Nazi. So that is now an overbroad definition. Or, for example, there's a claim here. It says, using the symbols and images associated with classic...
Wait, hasn't he literally said Joe Biden looks like Hitler or is Hitler? I feel like he might have said that. Anyway, whatever.
Anti-Semitism, e.g. claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel or Israelis. Now, again, I know what they're going for. What they're going for is the Der Stürmer cartoon. Of, for example, an Israeli soldier who is drinking the blood of a Palestinian child, right? Clearly anti-Semitic. Or an Israeli soldier who is killing Jesus, and Jesus is a Palestinian, clearly anti-Semitic. However, the way this is phrased suggests that it is anti-Semitic to say that Jews killed Jesus. Well, according to the New Testament, Jews did involve themselves in the killing of Jesus. Jews, the Sanhedrin, according to the New... Again, I'm
Bro, wait, what? Yo... He's like, Jews did kill Jesus. You should be able to say that. The original sin. The underpinning of, like, anti-Semitic sentiment amongst the entire Christian population that led to all the pogroms, that led to, in some instances, the justification for the Holocaust.
I'm a Jew, so this is not my book. But my best understanding from all my Christian friends and from reading the New Testament is that the Jews, under the New Testament, the Jews referred Jesus for prosecution to Pontius Pilate, who then convicted, out of fear of riots, Jesus to death, and then gave the Jews the opportunity to free Jesus, and they chose not to do so. And in the book of Matthew, there's a verse where it says, his blood be upon us and our children, right? That's all from the New Testament. A Christian saying all that stuff doesn't make Christians anti-Semitic. I think what the IHRA was actually going...
I mean, Christians don't just say that. It's not like they're just referencing the book when they're saying that. They're referencing the book to justify killing Jews and to talk about how nefarious the Jews are. Like, nobody brings that up unless it's like fucking a theology class or something. Like, what the fuck is happening? Here's what Ben's referencing. Yeah, I saw the fucking psychos get real mad. I mean, these are definitely fucking anti-Semitic freaks that are like, see, the Jews are making it illegal to preach the gospel. This is the funniest. This is the Marjorie Taylor Greene argument. I think it's the funniest way to criticize this bill. So for that note, I give this a 10 out of 10. It's literally like looking at a bill that basically says like criticism of Israel is akin to anti-Semitism, completely avoiding that part of the conversation and just being like, no, you don't understand. My actually anti-Semitic Christian fascist friends should be able to say that my people, the Jews, killed Jesus. And therefore, are enemies of Christianity. They should be able to say that as long as they're pro-Israel. Like I also mentioned, the bill has one inherent contradiction. One of the bullet points in the bill, according to the IHRA definition, says that claiming that Jews are a monolith and are loyal to like Israel is anti-Semitic, which I agree, that is anti-Semitic. But then also, by absurdly claiming that the criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism, this new law would effectively hold every Jewish person in the world responsible for the actions of Israel, which is absurd. Yet the law also bans saying anything holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of Israel. So the law basically violates itself. It's fucking ridiculous. The last bullet point in the law literally renders the law useless. If you are saying criticisms of the state of Israel is anti-Semitic because Israel is a representation of Judaism, while simultaneously saying holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of Israel is anti-Semitic, which I agree, by the way. That part I do agree with. Holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of Israel is anti-Semitic. I don't agree, however, with the other side of it. You end up basically fucking ruining the argument that you're trying to present.
Again, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I'm not a Christian, is that the basic idea is that all of humanity is collectively responsible for the death of Jesus. That is humanity's great sin, and Jesus wiped away original sin through his death. And Jews are a stand-in as a sinful group in the death of Jesus for everyone.
Dude, you are so Christ-cucked. It's crazy. He's cuck-maxing on that Christian tip. I mean, obviously, we already knew that from his, like, vociferous anti-abortion, unprincipled and anti-Jewish anti-abortion stance, which directly contradicts Judaism. Like, genuinely, Judaism encourages abortion. I don't know what the exact restrictions are, but I don't think that there's any single sect inside of Judaism that's anti-abortion. Even the most conservative, most Orthodox Jews not only do not think abortion is bad, but as a matter of fact, consider abortion to be perfectly valid. So his advocacy against abortion is in direct is directly against his, you know, of Judaism that he claims he believes.
The problem with this bill is that in encapsulating this definition, it strays into free speech territory. Now, as I say, I'm kind of bewildered as to why everyone is now getting upset about this as opposed to, say, Title VI itself, which wildly veers into free speech territory, but I get it. I get it. So, and I agree. I think it's overbroad, and I think the definition should not be applied in American law in this way. The solution to that, by the way, is to get rid of Title VI, as I said at the very outset right here. The most important thing that fails here is that it actually doesn't achieve what it's trying to achieve. So the goal of the bill is to give the legislature an additional tool to hold Joe Biden and the White House accountable for not defunding all of these universities. Well, they can already do that. There are already letters on the books from the Department of Education. They are called Dear Colleague letters that say that the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Yeah, he knows the Civil Rights Act is not going to be fucking rolled back. So he can just take this position like I was right. He took the position that, you know, barring the rollback of the civil rights, then, you know, this law is, you know, it's not great. It's expansive, but like neither is the Civil Rights Act.
Again, I see what they're attempting to do, which is to say to Democrats, listen, we see that you only want to protect certain groups. We want to protect all the groups. And so we're going to add new definitions here that protect all the groups. But it's sort of like the argument people sometimes use with DEI where they're like,
no, that's not the reason why this bill was pushed. But he'll never fucking recognize nor admit that. Also, am I crazy or did he not even mention the most important aspect of the bill, which is the most expansive aspect of the bill? Because the IHRA definitions of anti-Semitism are pretty close in line with our understanding of what anti-Semitism is, with the exception of the criticism of the state of Israel. That is the new addition to the conversation.